Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
About to get going here.
This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, thank you. One more time.
Oh, does that make you feel good on a snowy Sunday morning in Kansas City and across the Midwest? Oh, man. This winter is never going to end. This is Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and all over the Midwest, cranking out 50,000 watts. You can also listen worldwide on the app, which you can get at 810WHB.com. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bohlig is running the show today. And I don't know if it sounds a little different or not, but with the weather today, I was trying to get to the studio this morning, went out to try to gas up the car and kind of slid sideways down my street. So we were able to hook us up through an app. So Chris Bohlig, who is at the studio, do we sound all right? We all right? We good?
I think we're doing all right. We're working with it.
Okay. Well, this is the first time Look, I've been doing this for a long time. I've been in broadcasting for 25 years. I've done radio for a long time. I did TV for 20 years. I broadcast from a lot of unusual locations over my career. This is the first time I'm broadcasting over my kitchen sink.
How's
so
the
we'll
view?
See how it goes over the next three. It's not good. It's snow covered. I'm looking out the window and it's just snow and it's the skies are... I wouldn't even say the skies are gray. The sky is white. It's just a bright white. And the snow is tapering off right now. But I tell you what, Chris, it's March 3rd for crying out loud.
Yeah, when is spring going to come? I don't know. I will see it.
Never.
Hopefully by the Big 12 tournament. But that's what I'm hoping for. Hopefully people at P&L and stuff don't have to worry about that, especially, you know, out-of-towners coming in.
Yes, I am hoping to be able to turn off my heat by the 4th of July. That's kind of my goal right now. So if it happens before that, we'll be good. So we're going to have some fun for the next 3 hours and doing this from the kitchen sink. Let me give you the lineup for today, and then we'll get into everything to talk about, including Big 12 basketball and Chiefs football. Coming up at 9:30, Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News, my good friend who I worked with in television for a long, long time, is going to join us. He's dialed in on everything Chiefs related. We'll talk about Dee Ford getting the franchise tag, reportedly. What that means for Dee Ford, what it means for Justin Houston. Will there be a trade in the future for either one of them? So we'll talk about that at 9:30 with Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News. At 10 o'clock, our good friend David Leske is going to join us. He's from Baseball Prospectus. Writes about the Kansas City Royals, and David has been in spring training in Surprise, Arizona for the last week, and so I don't like David right now. He's going to bear the wrath of our frustration over the snow and ice here in Kansas City, but he's going to join us at 10 o'clock to talk Royals baseball, and in particular, Salvador Perez. Whether or not he's going to need Tommy John surgery, we don't know. We speculate about that because he has a UCL injury, the ulnar collateral ligament, if I got that right. Any doctors and nurses out there listening, please don't hate on me for that. But usually that means Tommy John surgery, but he's getting a second opinion from a doctor out in California. So he'll be going through that, and then we'll talk about whether or not the Royals make a trade for another catcher or stick with the youth of the organization, because the Royals are probably, no, I'm just going to say it, they have the deepest collection of catching prospects in Major League Baseball. That's just a fact. So we'll talk to David Leske about that. He's been out covering the Royals out in spring training. At 11 o'clock, we'll speak with Riley Gates from GoPowerCat.com. K-State came up with a big win last night over Baylor to keep themselves tied with Texas Tech atop of the Big 12 Conference. And we'll talk about kind of the interesting thing we'll look at there is they had the whole day to think about KU getting the win in the fashion that they did against Oklahoma State. And knowing that they had to go into last night against Baylor getting a win to hold them off. And that's an interesting, I guess, psychological dynamic to that, knowing that you have to win going into a night game and you've had hours to sit around thinking about it. So we'll talk with Riley Gates from GoPowerCat.com at 11 o'clock. At 11:30, we'll speak with Andy Edwards, my good friend from NBCSports.com. We did a soccer television show for many years at the place where I used to work. But this is it, Sporting KC. It's kind of a disjointed start to the season, so to speak, because the regular season starts tonight in Los Angeles against LAFC. But Sporting has already played two games in the CONCACAF Champions League, which they did very well. They blew out Toluca, one of the top teams in Mexico. They beat them 3-0 here in Kansas City, went down to Mexico City, or it's just outside of Mexico City. I was listening to Nate Buchanan this week on the Border Patrol, and it's about 45 minutes outside of Mexico City, but still it's at over 8,000 feet altitude. And Sporting KC won 5-0, so essentially over the two games, 5-0, and just played them off the field. Just played them right off the field and got a standing ovation from the Toluca fans, which I thought was awesome, especially Johnny Russell when he was subbed off, I think, in the 66th minute, got a standing ovation. So the crowd down in Toluca appreciated the performance of Sporting KC.
They were very kind to the fans,
yes,
as I've heard, that went down and traveled to Toluca. And I think even Nate said that all of the fans were very, very kind and nice. So you just never know when you go into an international, you know, environment in a different place. You know, you've seen videos around the world of different soccer games and, you know, how intense some of the fans get. So it was nice to hear that the Toluca fans were very, very good people.
Yeah. And, you know, I have friends who played in Major League Soccer. Nick Garcia, who we had on as a guest earlier this week on Sports Night. Tony Miola, former Wizards Sporting KC goalkeeper. I have talked to them at length about their experiences playing in Mexico, and usually it's not kind. The things that are thrown at them during the game, which I don't even want to talk about on a Sunday morning because it's unpleasant, but I thought it was very nice, and the fans down there were great to Sporting KC. So Andy Edwards, from NBCSports.com at 11:30. All right, let's get into Big 12 basketball, and then we'll get into Chiefs football. So yesterday, Chris, and I think you'll agree, was an exciting day. At least it was for me, because the games were all spaced out. So you had K-State and Texas Tech on the top of the conference by one game, and then you had KU trailing by one game. And the games were all spaced out during the day. And Baylor is still in there as well, was still in there as well. Iowa State on the outside looking in, but it didn't end well for them. But going into, Chris, going into the slate of games yesterday, having everything spaced out from 11 o'clock in the morning until the end of the K-State game at roughly 9:30 last night was just, that's a sports fan's dream to have that schedule lined up that way.
Yeah, it was great for, you know, for any fan of college basketball or basketball in general, great slate of games yesterday. I mean, you saw even not just only in the Big 12, but outside the Big 12 as well with, you know, Indiana upsetting Michigan State, Utah State upsetting Nevada.
Awesome, yeah.
It was a phenomenal day of college basketball. And, you know, even late night watching, I got to watch some Gonzaga. Haven't seen much of them since, you know, the Maui Invitational. And it was nice to watch them and check them out before, you know, championship week comes around here. So it was a fun day. My TCU Horned Frogs didn't really do much for the KU fans out there.
No, they didn't.
Against Texas Tech, but it was just an incredible day of programming for college basketball. And if you were a college basketball junkie, it was a really fun day.
Yeah, and if you've not seen the video of what happened after the Utah-Nevada game last night, just go to Twitter, go to Google, search Nevada basketball. It was a very ugly ending to that game. You know, this is not a local game of interest to all of us, but, you know, the Musselmans, Coach Musselman at Nevada, I used to work with his wife, so kind of have a little tie-in there. But just look at the video, because it ended in a bad way. And whatever side of the court storming, quote unquote, that you come down on, it did not end well. The Nevada kids felt that they were assaulted on the court, and one of their players kind of went off the deep end after the game, punched out those cases they keep fire extinguishers in. They have the glass window, and you have to kind of, well, you break in case of fire. Punched it, and there was broken glass on the floor, and the Utah State Police or whatever police department was in charge of security, there was a verbal altercation between the Nevada coaches and players and the police officers after the game, and it was not good. It was not a good look. And I'm not going to tell you who's right or who's wrong. I wasn't there. I can't speak for those players and coaches who were involved in the situation, but it did not end well. It was not a good situation. The security at that game last night lost complete control of it. And it's hard. Look, there's, you know, what, 2,000, 3,000 people running towards the court. How are you going to stop that?
Yeah.
What are you supposed to do?
And I'm sure most of them, it was a night game. So I'm sure most of the, yep. A lot of the students were probably under the influence of, you know, certain things and getting after, you know, they were just, you know, adrenaline and everything just going onto the court. I mean, you've seen it. You really have to, there's a fine line. You got to toe a fine line with the court storming because you want to keep the other team safe and the other players. You know, sometimes you'll see them get just stuck in the middle of a mosh of a crowd. So you got to really, really be good about getting that away team off the court immediately.
Yeah, and look, I don't have the answers. I don't have the answer. It's okay to say that you don't have the answer. I don't have the answer. One of the biggest court stormings that I had a front seat to was many years ago, Kansas at Mizzou, and KU had, I think Christian Moody was at the free throw line in the final seconds with a chance to tie or take the lead and didn't make. I'm not sure. But the photographer I was working with that day was at the court, and he got stomped on by people coming over the top of him. And it's a dangerous situation. I know kids are excited. And, look, it makes for great television. To be honest, you know, after my 20 years in TV, a court storming makes great television. But it can be a dangerous situation. So I don't have the answer for you. I don't know how you stop, you know, 2,000, 3,000, 5,000 kids from running onto the floor. It's just, I hate to use the term, it is what it is, but that's what it is. there's no good answer, but that's what happened after the Utah-Nevada game last night. So Google it, look at it. There's a lot of strong language in there, so if you want to look it up, make sure your kids aren't listening because it's not fun stuff. So, well, let's bring it back to the local angle here. We're going to take a timeout here in just a second, but KU beating Oklahoma State in a rather nerve-wracking game that kind of set the tone for the day, and it was I got to give full credit to Dedrick Lawson, who came up with another double-double with 20 and 15. Quentin Grimes came out of his shell and was absolutely fantastic.
Hit a big three at the end of that game for KU. I think he was four for seven from three-point, and he played very well on the defensive end as well.
Yes, and there were nervous moments. I know the KU fans were nervous when The Oklahoma State sharpshooter was left open, wide open three at the end of that game, and it looked like Ochai Agbaji was playing off and maybe have been out of space a little bit. But Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star did a great breakdown of that play and explained exactly why that happened. And so I encourage you to go to Jesse Newell. Just follow him on Twitter, at Jesse Newell, and read that breakdown there. Agbaji, by the way, 11 points, 5 boards in 29 minutes. I thought he had a great bounce-back game, which Jesse Newell predicted in his quick scout, which we talked about yesterday. K-State had to sit there all day from, let's see, KU got done at about 1:15, roughly.
Yep.
And so the K-State kids had six and a half hours to think about that all day. And knowing that they had to win to keep that one-game lead in the Big 12, Texas Tech had a big response. And, Chris, I apologize. I know you're a TCU guy, but well, Texas Tech hammered TCU. I mean, it was...
It wasn't pretty.
It was a blowout from the get-go. No, it was 81-66, and Culver and Marotti, who I have a lot of respect for, both of them, 15 points each. Very balanced attack for Texas Tech. Missouri also a big win. Interesting. Missouri had a great win against South Carolina and Frank Martin, 78-63. Kevin Puryear, I'm very happy for Kevin Puryear because he's a Blue Springs South kid and was a big fan of him in high school, covered all of his games. And he's had a rough season, but he went off for 18 points and 6 boards in just 26 minutes. So good stuff for Mizzou. And we'll have some more college basketball a little bit later in the show. And also a big shout-out to Clayton Custer, kid from Blue Valley Northwest. Started out his college career at Iowa State, didn't work out, transferred to Loyola of Chicago, made the Final Four last year, and he had his senior night last night. And it was great, great stuff for Clayton Custer. So Ed Fritz, the head coach over there, who I've known for 25 years, good stuff for your guy over there at Clayton Custer at Loyola of Chicago. All right, we're coming up on a timeout here. We'll do that. When we come back, we will speak with Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News. We'll talk Kansas City Chiefs football. Dee Ford getting the franchise tag, what that means for Dee Ford, what it means for Justin Houston, what it means for the salary cap, what it means for 50 different reasons. All that coming up. You're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter, broadcasting in my kitchen. And Chris Bullock is running the show back at the studio, and we're having some fun on a snowy Sunday morning in Kansas City. You're listening to Sports Radio.
Are you working? What kind of work do you do?
Oh, love this Sunday morning music. You're listening to Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and across the snow-covered Midwest. Chris Bollig is running the show back at the studio, picking out great music. By the way, my name is Brad Porter, hosting today from over my kitchen sink because I went sideways down my street this morning and we had to set up the app so I could do this. And Nate Bucati and Stephen St. John, I think, use this app on the Border Patrol on occasion when they're out of town. Or things happen, so
get a sponsor on
this. That's what we're doing today. We do need a sponsor on this. I guess I should not. The way you tease this, Chris, is you do not say the name of the app until they pay for it, right?
True, very true. Where's that check?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So I'm using the app to broadcast in front of my kitchen sink, looking out the window this morning, and it's good stuff. By the way, Chris, you have a lot to live up to if Jed Marshall is listening. Jed Marshall picks out great music, or did pick out great music on the weekends, but he got bumped up.
He's still picking out great music from 10 to 2p, so he's still cranking them out.
Yeah. Yeah, so the only requirement I have is that at some point during the show, you have to play a Beastie Boys lead-in, so...
Sounds good.
Make,
we get a little maybe
pick.
Sabotage or No Sleep Till Brooklyn. We'll figure it out.
Anything? Just make sure you check the language on those on those tracks.
We'll make sure it's clean.
Might have some. Yes, the clean version. Always pick the clean version, but always need a little Beastie Boys when I'm doing the show. So coming up here in a few minutes, we'll speak with Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News. We'll talk Chiefs football. Dee Ford reportedly getting the franchise tag, what that means for him, what it means for Justin Houston, what it means for the team, what it means for the salary cap. There's a lot of what it means. So Nick Jacobs is going to break it down for us. Continuing on our college basketball thoughts from the last segment, it was fantastic yesterday. It was kind of like setting up bowling pins, I guess, but over a 10-hour period.
Yeah, I mean, I was.
It was Kate. Yeah,
I was doing a little research myself last night, just kind of, you know, since Texas Tech and K-State kind of control their own destiny from here out, and I think they will do that.
Right.
Both of them being in the top 10 in defense in the nation. I think K-State in points per game is fourth. I believe Texas Tech is like fifth. I believe if I wrote that down right.
Okay.
So I went back and I was like, if, you know, I went to the national champions from the past 10 years just to see, compare, you know, how these teams are all defensive, but they're not even the top, you know, 150 of, you know, the offensive ranks. So one thing I looked at last year's Villanova team. They were first in points per game, 114th in opposing points per game. 2007 UNC, first in points per game, about 129th in points per game. I looked at Villanova from 2016, 57th in points per game, 15th in opposing points per game. That's a little outlier. They were still scoring, though, 78 points per game. And K-State, I think, is only averaging about – they're only averaging about 65, you know, 66 points per game. And, yeah, I just think it's interesting. As you go down the list, there are a few outliers with where teams are ranked in points per game that have won national championships. But, you know, you have an outlier maybe with UConn in 2011 because they kind of went on a run at the end of the year with Kemba Walker. I think they won five straight, you know, for that. And when the Big East was huge and they started playing games on, you know, about like Tuesday night, they went on a huge run. But they also had an all-star on their team in Kemba Walker. So I just think it's interesting to look at for these teams that, you know, you saw Kansas State in spurts where they can't score the basketball. And even with Texas Tech sometimes, if Culver's not on, it's a struggle for them to score points. So I just think it's interesting to look at, you know, in the tournament, what works. And you've seen this with Virginia teams with Tony Bennett, you know, even last year when they got upset. And I even, you know, years before that, at a certain point, yeah, you can play great defense. But if teams are going to be making shots and you can't make shots on the other end, then you're done. You can't do it in the NCAA tournament.
Yes, I always bristle when coaches use the term "score the basketball," because what else are you supposed to do with it? But that is essentially the thing. You got to score the basketball, and you saw it. K-State. Let's take K-State last night. So they were going back and forth with Baylor, and they had a big lead, and then kind of let it slip away a little bit, and then you're wondering, you know, what's going to happen. And I tell you what, Dean Wade, phenomenal. He had, 20 points and 4 rebounds and 30. He played 39 minutes last night. And this is a guy who's been injured, missed games, and was even, you know, during the week, reporters were talking about, you know, how in pregame he doesn't dunk. He doesn't really jump. He just kind of walks around. But when it comes down to game time, when it comes down to, you know, go time, so to speak, that kid stepped up in a huge way.
Yeah, and he even had
it reminded me a lot of.
He had an authoritative jam last night to put away all the haters who say he can't dunk. So also, I think off your point about, you know.
Authoritative, he almost brought down the whole basket on that jam.
Yeah, he did. He did. And to your point, I mean, Barry Brown didn't even score a bucket until about like the 15 or 16 minute mark in the second half. So that's my concern for K-State.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say. Like where are you going to get? I mean, luckily, Kamau Stokes in the past, you know, two games has been a phenomenal, you know, pick-me-up because, you know, Barry Brown just hasn't been there. I mean, at the end of the game yesterday, he started to pick it up. You know, he started to get in a rhythm. But we'll see. I mean, with this K-State team, yes, they can play defense. They can grind it out. But, you know, in a tournament-style format, that's not always the brand of basketball that's going to get you to the next round.
Yeah, you have one off night and it's over. And for Barry Brown, let's give Barry Brown some credit too, because defense doesn't stop. Even if you're having an off night shooting and you're not getting the looks that you want, Barry Brown was still out there for 40 minutes. And you look at the points, only 10 points. But he also fought to get 7 rebounds and dished 4 assists. So I give Barry Brown a lot of credit. Xavier Sneed, awesome. His numbers are off the charts. 22 minutes, 14 points, and 5 rebounds. That's an effective 22 minutes.
Yeah.
Miles Stokes, 16 points and 4 rebounds. I mean, you got guys, and if you get that performance in a this is what I'm looking for in the tournament. If you have your star player in a Barry Brown, or even a Dean Wade, who was actually outstanding last night, but if you have a Barry Brown who's having an off night, you get the Xavier Sneeds and the Kamau Stokes to step up, and you can pull off an upset or two here and there and find yourself in the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight.
Yeah, and I mean, it's
what K-State did last year.
Yeah, and I mean, it's all about matchups and opportunity and, you know, what happens in games preceding you. So we'll see with this K-State and even Texas Tech team, who's also kind of has the same model as K-State. So we'll see going forward what that's going to be like in the tournament.
All right, we're coming up on a timeout here. When we come back, we're going to talk with Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News, who I worked with for many years in television. We'll talk Chiefs football, what the franchise tag for Dee Ford means, what it means for him, what it means for Justin Houston, how it impacts the salary cap, and what the Chiefs do moving forward. So Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News, coming up next. You're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter, broadcasting from my kitchen, and Chris Bullock is running the show back at the studio, and you're listening to Sports Radio 810. Trying to make you feel good with that Sunday music on a snowy Sunday morning in Kansas City and across the Midwest on Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bullig is running the show back in the studio, and due to the street conditions over where I live, I am broadcasting right in front of my kitchen sink. You never know how it's going to work out, so... Thanks to Todd Lebo, by the way, for helping me set up the app so I could broadcast here. Tried to get out and get some gas in my car this morning, and it was not a fun experience. So if you don't have to be on the roads, don't go out. Just sit here tight. Listen to us. If you're out on the road crews, by the way, shout out to MoDOT and KDOT crews and all the police departments and fire departments in the metro area, if you're listening, big shout out to you guys for keeping everybody safe out there. I know it's not fun to deal with all the wrecks and the accidents and people not knowing how to drive in the snow and all that. So big shout out to all of you guys, men and women who serve the area and good stuff. We're back here talking Chiefs football for this segment. We're joined by Nick Jacobs from 41 Action News. Nick, I know you live north of the river, where I grew up, and I bet the conditions are a little bit better up north than they are down south. Oop. I don't hear Nick. Is Nick there? Oh, hang on. We're dialing him up. Hang on. Chris Bullock is dialing him up here in just a second here. Yeah, Nick Jacobs is a Northlander, which is where I cut my teeth as a kid growing up in just outside of Parkville. in Walnut Creek and Wetherby Lake and those areas around there. So we'll get Nick Jacobs here in just a second to talk Chiefs football. It was kind of a big news day yesterday, and Chris, just let me know when Nick is there. So the Chiefs reportedly are putting the franchise tag on Dee Ford, which means approximately a $19 million. So the Chiefs are in a little bit of a bind. $19 million for Dee Ford, $21 million owed to Justin Houston. And so the team has a decision to make. Do you franchise tag Dee Ford and trade him, or do you figure out a way to trade Justin Houston? And I guess there could be a third option. You could renegotiate a contract with Justin Ford and try to stretch the money out over another 2 to 3 to 4 years. And Nick Jacobs joins us now. Nick, how is everything up north this morning?
I'm going to be honest, Brad. I haven't looked outside my window, and I don't plan to till noon. I'm just going to pretend that it's nice and sunny. Okay?
Yes, you're better off. That's a better world than looking out the kitchen window where I am doing this. So the Chiefs put the franchise tag on Dee Ford, which I think we all expected.
Yeah.
So I guess the initial knee-jerk reactions are, does that mean they're keeping Dee Ford, or does that mean they're setting this up for a trade scenario for either Dee Ford or Justin Houston? Because you got $19 million and $21 million between the two players.
Well, with D, I think it's I want to say with D, it depends on – I think they're designating him as a linebacker. We'll see what the tag ends up putting – what they end up putting on the tag, because that will make the difference, like you said, between it being 15 a year, I believe, for the linebacker and somewhere in that 20 ballpark if it's a DN. And I believe when we had Joel Corey on the 4th-on-1 podcast that he said that it's based on what they played last year, so D was a linebacker. So we'll see what the designation ends up being when the paperwork's put in. But, yeah, it's with D, I don't – the thing with him, the complication is he had the back issue last year, and obviously he had surgery on it, as was documented in the article by Dan Pompey this week. So at 28 years old, he's already had a back problem, just like Don Terry Poe had a back problem. Those are concerns when they're rushers and when they're offensive linemen, because those don't always go away. And at some point, they're either going to come back or they're going to linger in their career. So investing similar money in that $15 to $20 million range a year in Dee Ford, that is going to be a concern at his age, especially when you have Chris Jones, who needs to get paid here soon, Tyreek Hill and Patrick Mahomes. Those are your next big three that you're paying in this organization, especially Mahomes. So the unique challenge the Chiefs are going to have overall is that the Patrick Mahomes contract, whenever it's finally done in the probably next year or the year after, you're going to essentially pay the price you paid for two players, whether it was Barry or Houston or Ford in Houston or whoever. That's what you're going to end up paying for Pat Mahomes, which is going to be completely worth it for this franchise. It's just a luxury issue they've never had before at quarterback, to have to pay that level but get that production in return. So with D, in terms of the tag aspect of it, I think that you're putting a placeholder on him right now. You're going to see what the market is out there. As Adam Schefter reported of ESPN, that they're going to listen to offers. And you're going to see what's available. And I got a sneaky suspicion the Chiefs had got a pretty good idea this week up there at Indy what the market might be for him. And you get a good return on investment with draft picks and see what you can get out of it. Because if they were going to sign him long-term, I think they would have already gone down that road if they were going to invest in him long-term in this scheme and in this organization. He might be here for a year if there's not a good offer, and you hope he has another great year and that he stays injury-free, and then you revisit this thing again next year in terms of a potential trade. But I don't see Dee Ford being here long-term. I also don't think Justin Houston is going to be here long-term.
Yeah, it's amazing, Nick. It's amazing how quickly players age in the NFL. It's just the nature of the sport. It's the way it is. And Justin Houston is, 30 years old. He's only, 3 years older than Dee Ford, three or four?
Yeah,
Justin Houston. And Justin Yeah, and Justin Houston, with his age and with his injury history, it would be a challenge to try to figure out a trade to get something of value. And I've been following your tweets. And by the way, follow Nick Jacobs at Jacobs71. Has a lot of good stuff on there and a lot of good breakdowns on there. I couldn't imagine anything higher than a fourth-round draft pick for Justin Houston. And I don't know, you know, the $21 million, I don't know what the value is, but it's certainly a challenge to figure that out for Brett Veach and the Chiefs front office staff.
Yeah, I mean, and when it was put out there, the report that they were listening to offers for him, that you've at least put it out there for teams to let them know that the market's open if they would like to make an offer to him and at least exhausted that position in that area to improve the football team to try to see if there's a team that's willing to give up a draft pick asset or maybe even a player for him. You're just hoping there's a team that has a lot of salary cap space that would want to take a chance on that. But for the most part, I fully expect the NFL to wait to see if the Chiefs just release him, and then they'll go from there because there's not really an urgency probably for most teams to have to address their pass rushing situation until the market has dried up of the top four or five rushers out there, especially with Trey Flowers on the market. He's probably who most people expect to be the top edge rusher in free agency. Most teams just, they're not going to have that urgency until that starts to dry up, and then they're going to be like, oh, okay, yeah. So, hey, about that trade. So then I think that's kind of when you'll probably see more movement at that point in terms of whether it's Ford or Houston or whatever. I think teams, until they have to go that avenue, I don't think anybody wants to give up any draft picks, especially defensively with what's lining up in this draft.
Absolutely, 100%. And with Justin Houston, we know the defensive linemen are up on the NFL scouting combine today. And look, Nick, I don't put a lot of stock in the 40 times and all that. I just, you know, if the guy can play, the guy can play. But they're apparently, according to the experts, look like there's a good number of defensive linemen available in the draft. So again, it's going to be about the timing thing. You mentioned the Patrick Mahomes contract coming up and Tyreek Hill and other players who are coming up. And I just wonder if the Chiefs will try to operate in a little bit of the Patriots form, and they convince Tom Brady to take a little bit less to keep winning. And I have conspiracy theories about that, which I think you know about.
Yeah.
That there's a secret doggy bag of money out there in the Cayman Islands somewhere. I don't know, but it's something that the Chiefs will have to work through if they want to. I mean, if you're talking about making a Super Bowl run in the next 2 years, great. But if you're talking about building a dynasty for the next 10 years, it's going to be a very, very delicate balance.
Yeah, and you're 100% right on that. That's really where you're seeing the D Ford move and the Justin Houston move, and depending what happens with Eric Berry and some of these other guys that fans recognize their names and have seen them with the Chiefs for so long. That's kind of what the organization's having to figure out, because in my personal opinion, Veach had to spend last year getting rid of some of the bad contracts of aging veterans who couldn't produce at the rate they were being paid. Now he's having to deal with some of the other contracts that were put in there that didn't work out because of injuries that occurred. And then next year is, in all honesty, the final year that they can get out of a couple more contracts that probably don't have the return on investment that they were wanting or that they want. And from a cap perspective, I mean, by next year, once all this stuff's resolved this year and a little portion of it next year, I mean, the Chiefs are going to be in the 80 to 100 million range, depending on what they do in terms of cap space. And as an organization, I rarely remember times, whether it's the Carl era or the Pioli era, that they had more than 35 million in cap space on a routine basis. So, I mean, the fact that they will have that opportunity, it'll get eaten up pretty quick with three of those big contracts that are coming. But overall, like you said, I think the Chiefs under Brett Veach are going to be a team that, like the Chiefs did with Travis Kelce, they're going to spend the money on a player earlier before they hit their full potential, before they hit that career year, so that they are paying before of what they project versus having to pay what's already happened, which is what they got caught up with in Justin Houston and Barry Those two both had contract years, and the Chiefs had to pay the full bill for it. And because of that, they got caught in paying for production that had already happened versus production that would happen, which is what I think they're going to avoid with Mahomes, Hill, and Jones.
Well, let's get – and we're speaking with Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News. Follow him on Twitter, at Jacobs71. A lot of good Chiefs information there. Also, check out the podcast, Fourth and One, which Nick does with Todd Palmer and shall we say associated members of 41 Action News? Because it's kind of it's a mixed collection every time, right?
it just depends who's available. But yeah, Todd will be very happy that he got mentioned. You just made his day right.
Yes. Well, you don't want Gary Lezak on there today because you don't want to hear about the weather today.
No,
so
Gary
let's
can make,
let's
Gary
drill
can
down
happy
into
about any type of weather. Gary can always have a fun.
Well, he's always posting pictures of his dogs on Twitter, and that makes everybody happy. So let's drill into the Eric Berry thing. Sam Mellinger from the Kansas City Star has a good column out today, kind of on the conundrum of what to do with Eric Berry. And look, I think everybody who covers the Chiefs, everybody who cheers for the Chiefs, everybody associated with the Chiefs, roots for Eric Berry. I mean, the man has beat cancer, for crying out loud. But his availability over the last two seasons has been a major problem. And his cap hit is becoming a major problem. I don't really have the answer as to what to do here, but the Chiefs are going to have to come to a decision either this month or at that June 1st deadline on what to do with Eric Berry. Nick, what would you recommend or what would be your preference as to what to do with Eric Berry's contract?
I definitely want to agree with you in the fact that I think every single one of us is rooting for Eric Berry as a person. We all recognize what he's done for this
100%.
Community, what he's done for this community, what he's done for this fan base, what he's done for cancer patients around the world and the inspiration that he's given them. So from that, from the human aspect of it, you recognize 100% who that guy is and who he's become and how phenomenal of a person he's been in those regards. So that's first and foremost, you got to recognize that. Now, from a football business perspective, like you said, the unfortunate part is that they paid for a contract a year and gave him one of the top safety numbers that he's ever had, that the league's ever seen in terms of contract. And because of that, whenever he unfortunately got hurt, just a handful of months after he signed that deal, same thing that happened to Justin, he got hurt the same year that he signed the big money deal. I mean, they were just at that age to where that type of stuff, unfortunately, players' bodies start breaking down once they hit that 27 to 29 range. That's when it starts happening. And then once most players hit 30, that's when you just fully expect their injuries to take longer for them to bounce back. So with Eric, you're in a situation now where what happened this past year and, like you said, the availability of it has been a concern, and the fact that there's not going to be – if the surgery needed to happen, you would have hoped it would already happen, and it hasn't, and that seems kind of a little murky and cloudy situation in that regard. So it just kind of comes to a point where, I mean, you got to make a decision for the long-term health financially of the franchise is that you're probably – what I would personally do is I would designate him a June 1st cut sometime between that March 13th to 15th range before his guarantees – lock into place for the, I believe, the following year of the contract, and then you kind of just got to say goodbye at that point financially, and you may not get that cap space until June, but you just kind of, unfortunately, you just kind of have to get out from that contract because by this time next year, you're gonna need every single dollar you can to invest in the next wave of your talent that we talked about and those big three that are going to need to get paid.
All right, Nick, I'm coming up on a timeout here. Can you hang with us and take us up to the top of the hour?
Sounds good.
All right, we'll take a quick timeout. All right, we'll take a quick timeout. We're speaking with Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News. Follow him on Twitter, at Jacobs71. Some of the best Chiefs information you can find out there. You're listening to Sports Sunday on a snowy Sunday in Kansas City. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bollig is running the show, and you're on Sports Radio 810 WHB. little music to make you feel a little bit better on this snowy Sunday in Kansas City and across the Midwest. Sports Radio 810 WHB. This is Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bullig is running the show, and our guest is Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News. Follow him on Twitter at Jacobs71. And Nick, you know, we worked together for a long time in television for many years. This is the first time I'm broadcasting from my kitchen because I couldn't get down my street this morning.
I mean, hey, we all, you work in the industry long enough, you have some unique experiences, and today we get to share in yours.
Yes. Well, I hope I can make it down to Channel 41 tonight for Sunday Sound Off. We'll see how that works out. Hopefully the roads are a little bit cleared. We're talking Chiefs football as we're getting into this off season and talking about the, you know, the franchise tag of Dee Ford, whether or not you trade Justin Houston. The NFL Combine is going on. I know you have not gotten into that too deep yet, but one of the things I find, I guess, personally amusing is, you know, we post all the the people at the Combine post all the 40 times and how much they're throwing up the bench press and, you know, all those sorts of things. I'm wondering, I can't remember, maybe I'm wrong, Nick. Have you ever seen a broadcast where they mentioned a player's 40 time or hand size or height measurements, unless it was unless it was absolutely off the charts? I'm not sure how much of this really matters.
Well, I would say for us as fans, it honestly doesn't mean too much. It gives you something to give you distracted while you're sitting inside while, you know, it's a snowy condition outside. For us, and, you know, there's no other really football going on NFL-wise. So it gives you a nice little distraction. But, yeah, I mean, for the NFL teams there, I mean, part of the combine is basically allowing them to speak with agents about their players that are on their team's current rosters to figure out what the number is, if they want to work together on something or if they need to go a different direction. It gives teams chances to chat with other teams about who from their roster might be on the trading block. And you got a lot of rumors that come out from Combine Week. So that's really, being there in Indianapolis, that's kind of where that's where the action's actually at. What's on TV, I mean, it's fun for us to be able to watch and, like I said, to stay distracted. But for the most part, it's been well documented this week. St. Elmo's and Steak and Shake and those areas, those are kind of the spots where you just kind of get a chance to be a fly on the wall, and you may actually hear a couple things. So yeah, those are kind of the big parts of it. But yeah, like the scouting departments, they'll take the end result numbers and they'll add it in and they'll put it in the database and they'll compare it to players of the past on their roster and kind of get a feel for where they gauge and range. But yeah, that's really, you're honestly just taking the numbers part of it overall to kind of keep to compare against some players of the past.
Yeah, absolutely. And I used to do the same thing when the Chiefs were at training camp in River Falls, and you go to dinner at the Copper Kettle or wherever it was, you try to, you know, and Carl Peterson would roll in with one of the agents. You try to lean in, listen to the conversations. It's all kind of fun stuff. Quick question. I don't know if you've done a deep dive into this, but since he's a local kid, I thought I would ask. Drew Locke, you and I both watched him in high school, at Lee Summit High School. Watched him at Mizzou, and, you know, he could be a first-round pick, he could be a second-round pick, but just kind of on the broad strokes, how do you see Drew Locke factoring in to being an NFL quarterback?
Well, I think for Drew, he obviously has the arm and he has the ability, and I think he has the accuracy because he had that, like you talked about, he had that whenever he was at Lee Summit, and he was an insanely good athlete in high school, and he did as well as he could at Missouri with the constant changes that on the offensive scheme. That poor guy went through so many offensive changes and scheme that at least NFL teams know that he's capable of performing somewhat at an NFL level despite having so many distractions and learning so many different schemes. So that aspect, that'll be encouraging for him. I think the biggest thing is for him to get into a system in the NFL that allows him to learn their system, have some stability for 2 to 3 years, and work with him on being able to read a defense in their scheme. I think the biggest disservice he had at Missouri was he didn't have the – I don't feel like he had the necessary continuity for him to be able to learn all the ins and outs of how to read a defense in the scheme that he was performing and executing. And I know some of the games that I watched from Missouri, there was a handful of drops, even though he placed it in the correct spot. And, you know, receiver dropped the ball here and there. And I know he, at times in some of the games I watched, he pressed a little bit to try to make plays. And they weren't, unfortunately, going to be – he didn't have some teammates that could execute them. But I personally right now, I fully expect him – to end up with the Denver Broncos. I know I'd heard through the grapevine for months that John Elway was enamored with him last year, and I know he went to multiple Missouri games, and I think he's been the apple of John's eye for quite some time. And when they made the trade for Joe Flacco, I was like, yep, he's setting it up right now. He's getting the quarterback that can execute the system right now and do it for 2 years and buy some time, and then he's going to draft a quarterback behind him and work with him. And if I personally am, I will be very surprised if Drew Lock isn't a Denver Bronco on draft night in the first round headed to Denver. That would, I mean, anything can change. Something can happen in their evaluation process that we don't know about or that they don't like a hand size or something, and all of a sudden they decide it's just not going to work. But I've already mentally set my mind that a great kid in this area and that he's probably going to be wearing a Broncos helmet. But hey, Shane Ray made it through it, and he's getting ready to hit free agency. So if Shane Ray can make it through it, Drew Lock can, and someday maybe he won't have to hopefully be a Bronco.
Yep, I would not like to see him in a Broncos uniform, but all I hope for is the kid gets paid and he has a good life and a good career. I love Drew Lock. He's a great kid. Hey, Nick, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us on this snowy Sunday morning in Kansas City.
Hey, it's my pleasure, and I hope you're able to get out and about on the town here in a couple hours.
Yes, absolutely. That is Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News. Please follow him on Twitter, @Jacobs71. Always good Chief stuff to look at there, and breakdowns of what they're doing with Dee Ford and the franchise tag and Justin Houston and what they're going to do with that and Eric Berry and on and on and on. Good stuff from Nick Jacobs. 41 Action News. We'll take a quick timeout. You're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bollig is running the show, and you're on Sports Radio 810 WHB.